Welcome to Morph Into a New You, part of MHNRnetwork.com. Your host, Johnny Calloway, is the author of several books, including Taming the Dragon, Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge. He will be having conversations with people from all walks of life. Healing really is an inside job that transforms you to become a better version of you. We must change our self-talk and inner dialogue so we can start to believe. A special thanks to our sponsor, Meaningful Expressions, at m-expressions.com. They can take a concept, thought, or personal brand and turn it into a visual masterpiece that you can use to raise awareness about your passion or cause. They've certainly done that with our podcast website. And thank you for joining Johnny as you morph into a new you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, host of Morph Into a New You, where we believe that changing a thought changes a life. Very happy to be here today with Joanne Brennan, author of How to Thaw Your Frozen Feet. Want to throw out a big thank you to the Mental Health News Radio Network and to Kristen Walker. And our theme for the month of February on Morph Into a New You is healing as an inside job. Joanne has put together a beautiful 10-step process for how to escape an abusive relationship, basically, but it's also, there's so much more you can use that process for. We're going to talk about a little of that today also, but predominantly we're going to talk about how healing is an inside job and how you can use Joanne's process. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Let's talk a little bit first about what your process actually is, kind of briefly about that, and then we'll get more into what your process is as we talk about how to use it to heal from the inside out.
Absolutely. So the process that we go through is 10 steps. And the first, obviously, we're dealing with, as mentioned, helping women leave violent relationships. So we discuss the types of abuse that they may be experiencing, which could be a combination or singularly physical, sexual, financial, emotional, spiritual, and then discussing how to stop living in that denial. The second step we talk about is walking away and staying away from that relationship, which can be so very difficult when you're involved in, again, as mentioned, have normalized something that isn't actually healthy. Then we move on to the next step. The third one is unlearning your unhealthy coping strategies. When we are in denial, we develop, that's a lie that we're telling ourselves, and we develop very unhealthy coping strategies during that time. And so I discuss in my process how to unlearn those unhealthy strategies. And then repairing broken bonds with family and friends, because as we've discussed prior, there are family members that when you're in an abusive relationship or in a substance abuse addiction of sorts, we tend to keep that in secrecy or under the covers for as long as we can until we realize that we cannot cope with living that way anymore. And some of our family and friends may be in denial themselves when we bring those truths forward. So that's a really important subject as well, as they all are, but that was very touching for me. And then learning to forgive yourself, which is, I like to think of it as not forgiving the other person, although we do have to in an abusive relationship. It's important in finding your truths to forgive the person, but even more so to learn to forgive yourself. And my process talks about that because I like to see it as you're gifting yourself the ability to move forward and grow and transform and then start loving yourself again. It is very, very important to be able to love yourself again, as we so often neglect ourselves and put ourselves at the bottom of the list. And dealing then with step 7 is understanding, learning, and being discerning about what and who. So poor advice from good people still is poor advice. And so we discuss the people that you can tap into when you're in your healing process, whether it be professional, close trusted friend, counselor, therapist, a psychiatrist, psychologist, a group therapy, and then rebuilding your potential, which is part of forgiving yourself, part of moving forward, part of growing and in your transformation. And we talk about various things that have been neglected during your abuse, your time of abuse, whether it be something athletically, art, painting, sports, travel. So we discuss all of that as well. And then step 9 is pulling through the shades of grief and sadness and depression. When one is abused, that is something, especially when trauma, one has been affected by trauma, you can develop a chemical imbalance, unfortunately, go through various shades of grief, sadness, and ultimately depression. I know I did. And so that was a very big topic for me to discuss as well, and resources to be able to tap into dealing with that healing, learning to being open to love again. Not the traditional, as you and I have privately talked, but not the traditional get out there and go dating and whatnot again. It's about being, once you love yourself, continue to being open to loving yourself. And that is a very large chapter as well. How to do that. And then looking at the potential or the possibility of entering a new relationship.
Wow. As always, when I speak with you, that covers a lot of ground and it brings up a lot of stuff. One of the first things I wrote down here, though, that as far as what we're trying to do on the show today, healing is an inside job. Codependency, of course, comes up. I know for myself, I've been in a number of relationships where I got kicked around, even as a male, not physically, but emotionally, mentally, financially. I got kicked around big time and just let it go on because of my codependency. I know that's so for women as well. It's like, who am I without this person? What am I going to be if I don't have a person? And if I let go of this person, there may not be another person. So yes. Let's talk for a moment, Joanne, about the codependent part and how to heal so we don't have that internal yearning for someone to make us whole.
I'm so glad that you asked me that, to talk about that, because I think the very first and foremost thing is to learn how to love yourself first, in preference to loving the idea of other people loving you. And what I mean by that is choose to love and honor yourself as an individual first, instead of convincing others to do it for you. A fact of life, unfortunately, is the greatest war in existence, is the war to accept, embody, and love ourselves with all of our imperfections. And we have to be 100% honest to approximately who we are, how we sense, and what we need in our life. And if we don't do that, we're discrediting ourselves. It's important to discern. We've talked about peeling the layers off and be our own personal guide, as opposed to depending on somebody, because when you depend on somebody for something, then you are not whole. Every now and then we fall effortlessly into the lure of being our own worst enemies by doing that. The reason I feel that is because we love the idea of loving, of others loving us. And again, we neglect ourselves.
It always ends up being personal for me. It's the best place for me to go with it. First off, I romanticized everything. Yes. And, you know, I grew up with Motown and all those love songs, and which were also like so painful. It's like, but I loved that. And I love the feeling of that. And I know I'm not the only one, and I know women deal with the same thing. But for me, I know one of the things you talked about earlier was breaking away and how to break away. And your book covers that. But what I realized was I was in love with the idea of being in love.
Yes.
I had this strange characteristic that my 12-step sponsor used to be like, what are you thinking? But I would be in a relationship that with somebody that I no longer wanted to be in a relationship with, so I would leave. But then as soon as they got with somebody else, I would freak out and start begging them to come back. And it was hideous and it was painful. I didn't want them anymore. I didn't want the abuse that I had endured anymore, but I didn't want to be alone. And, you know, that thing you mentioned about the 100% honesty, you know, my mom died when I was very young. I was 5. as soon as I got in therapy, they started talking to me about the fear of abandonment, my fear of abandonment. What yes. we didn't talk about on the deeply honest part is part of my fear of abandonment come from the part of me that I hid from myself, and that was how many times had I abandoned someone?
Yes.
That's where the real, I mean, when I got real honest, a big part of my fear of being abandoned was I knew how capable I was of abandoning someone. As I've grown, I have looked now at all of my deep fears. They've come back to me in some way that I've actually done that. I have left others.
Yes.
So of course I'm afraid of being left because I know it's possible no matter how much you want it to be different. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes, I totally agree with you. And I did the same myself. And when we leave others, I think it's inevitable that we come to the truth that we've actually left ourselves also.
Right. The inside part, the healing, the inside part for me has been about, okay, how about I accept the reality that people change their minds? I'm not talking at this moment. I'm not talking about an abusive situation. There are people who love each other, but all of a sudden they've grown in different directions and they aren't on the same page anymore, even though they still think the other person's great. People change their minds and move on.
And the thing that comes to my mind, Johnny, when you say that is, in order to heal and move on and not have a false desire for what once was, accept, forgive them and yourself. Because when you're going through that situation, you're going to confront the dark elements of yourself. And in doing that, with the light of your forgiveness, your willingness to battle together with your demons has to be open in order for you to move on, or you're going to be stagnant. It doesn't mean that you're a terrible person or they're a terrible person. Like you said, people do change their minds. And if it is time to move on, then in order to grow, I think it's important to embrace that uncomfortable instead of yearning for what was. Accept and move on. Being in no relationship is better than being in one that's wrong for you and for them, because it's an incomplete. I think that way you're able to realize your worth. Because otherwise, you're disrespecting yourself and that other individual.
I'm not going to deny for a moment that when one person decides to move on or decides that it's time for them to move on and the other person hasn't, for the person that hasn't, it's really painful. And it can actually be painful for the one that does move on because they know it's right because they still care. So
yes.
It would take, and it does take, incredible maturity to be able to accept. Emotional, spiritual maturity to be able to accept and move on and lick your wounds and go on, so to speak. My very best friend in my life today was once my fiance. And we hang out together all the time. And let me be clear, this is not a friendship of benefits. We are just best friends. We hang out. We're there for each other in almost all cases. And we are just best friends. Now, people all the time are like, why aren't you two together? You do so well together. Well, not as a couple, but it's just that way and it's okay. And we're both okay with that. But the thing is, there's a couple other things here that you mentioned in your intro that I want to touch on that I think are very powerful, very important. And one is when you talked about family and whether you do or don't get the support of your family for moving on. Well, part of what happens, I would think, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, is let's say, for instance, you have a child that's, and I'm going to just use it, say they're 13 years old, and dad's abusing you, and you need to move on. But all baby girl knows is that dad's paying the bills, dad's buying me the shoes and the skates when I need shoes and skates, dad's paying for all my soccer equipment. Dad's doing all this. Mom, I don't want to move on. There's got to be and I don't want to use the word selfish because that's not necessarily selfish, especially when you're talking about a child, because all they see is their needs are getting met. Their perceived needs are getting met. So now that you've got that component of like, how do I take care of me and the soul of my children, possibly at the expense of our financial well-being?
Well, you're asking wonderful questions, and I've actually been through that personally. You have to come to a realization in the end that staying together for the sake of the children is one of the worst situations you can put the child in. You will only damage their mental, spiritual, emotional, physical, for that matter, because when you're not whole in one aspect of life, then everything else deteriorates. I was brought up old school. I'm adopted, and my parents are quite a bit older than most my age. And I was being physically, emotionally, financially, sexually abused by my husband. But then, and I thought, once you're married for life, no matter what. I had to unravel that in my own mind and realize that, hey, you know what? There are other options. I do have an opportunity to leave because he does not own me. Nobody owns anybody else. And then when it came to be where, now there was corporal punishment on the children, I came to the realization that that was very unhealthy also. And we tend to minimize what we're going through. But then when something starts to happen to your children that you realize is wrong, it puts a fire in you or a fight. At least it did for me, because I knew what was happening was wrong. And then there was one day where I didn't cook the food properly. And so the hot food and the pan and everything was thrown at me. And so my son was in the tub and he was 2 at the time. And I went in trying not to cry. And he said, "What happened, mommy? Daddy angry? Daddy spank you? Daddy slap you?" And my 7-year-old daughter walked in with a box of tissue and she started wiping my face. And that was the moment that I knew I had to draw the line in the sand, because what I was going through was not love. That was not love in any way, shape, or form. That was entitlement. That was power. That was control. It was pure selfishness. And that had nothing to do with the love of our family.
That also seems like blatant narcissism. And
at its finest.
At its finest.
Yes. And so that's when I drew the line and I realized no matter what was going to happen, there were resources to tap into, at least in Canada. I know there are many in the States as well, in order for me to move forward. And I was ready, willing, and able to do and go through whatever I had to do with lack of finances or lack of anything for that matter, lack of a spouse now, because he was not doing me any good nor the children any good. And so the best thing I did was to move forward, because what I had been through was much worse already.
Wow. There's a couple other things here I want to be sure that we touch on, and we will be doing more of these shows so we'll be able to get more in depth with smaller segments at a time.
Yes.
You talked about poor advice coming from good people.
Yes.
Well, I want to say I know this. You know, like when someone else, let's say you've got a family member that is benefiting from the wealth of the husband and you're wanting to leave, well, I can see very well how they would try to guide you into staying if it's going to mean that their needs aren't going to get met.
Exactly. And
so being able to discern what that is and what's going on there has got to be paramount to being able to move on. Are you coaching me and advising me from what my best interest is or what your best interest is? Let's investigate that.
Yes. And what I have found through peeling my layers off, and I love this area too, I get excited, is that I have found that majority of people that are intricately involved in your life, when they dispense advice or opinions to you, they are talking from what their reality is, because there is an emotional attachment. It is not to say that they don't mean well. They do mean very well, but most people today are in denial. And so that's why I think it's really important to seek out somebody that is in a therapy position or a psychiatric position or counseling or somebody that is not emotionally involved. It's not to say that you can't get good advice from somebody who is somewhat emotionally involved from you, but the fact of the matter is most people have a bias. So we really go into that. there are, you know, from my experience, there are very simple-minded, egotistical, and crass people that just don't really care, and they'll just blurt out whatever they want. But majority of the people in our life, I like to think, they're good people. It's just there is an imbalance.
There's always self. There's always,
yeah,
what am I getting out of this?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to say it takes a highly conscious, evolved person to be,
yes,
able to actually step outside their needs and wants being met, to actually be more concerned about what your best interests are, what my best interests are, especially in the face of some perceived loss. So,
yes,
and I've said this for many, many years now. I tell people that I'm trying to coach that are trying to help that if you're going to go to therapy, that's a wonderful thing. But know this, your therapist can only take you as far in your healing as they have gone in their own.
Yes.
That is real. And unfortunately for them, you are their income.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen this happen time and time again. And I got a lot of good friends that are therapists, but I've seen this happen a lot of times. You're paying my light bill. So if I get to the point where I can't really go where you're needing to go next because you have caught up to me, we got to start back at the beginning and go over something that we've already gone over, something you've already healed. And it takes a really good therapist that's really done their own work to be able to say, you know what, Joanne, we've gone as far as I can take you.
I agree with you so much there, Johnny. And this is where the topic, healing is an inside job. Once you come to your 100% honest truths about who you are, what you've done, and where you want to go, these therapists can guide you. You could go to the next one or the next one, but they can't do the healing. It is you that has to take the tools that they have within their capabilities and then discern, continue to callous your mind as an individual in healing and do that work yourself.
I do a class every Monday at the Salvation Army, their drug rehab, and the class is for people that battle with addiction and a mental health issue. After my third class, I said to them, the fourth class, I said, are you learning anything in here? And of course, yes, we are, yes. I said, what are you doing with it? Between classes, what are you doing with what you learn in a class? Because I was taught, I learned along the way of, wisdom is what occurs when knowledge is put to work.
Yeah.
So if it's not being used, it's just information. And what the wounded mind, I want to say the addict because that's what I predominantly deal with, but it's not that. It's the wounded soul. What they do with mm-hmm. that information, if they're not using it, it just becomes one more bat for me to beat myself with. You know, I learned at that class the other day that I could do this way and I'm not doing it. So now I'm still a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But if I put it to work, and here's the reality of it. If I practice it over and over, it becomes a part of my DNA. It becomes a part of who I am. And
mm-hmm.
it's just information. It's just information.
Yes.
I have to put it to work.
Information's gold. Advice can be gold. But you are so on point. Right on the target there. Unless you do something about it, unless you make that transformation, you're still going to be shit, like you say.
Right. I really drive home the importance of changing my mind, changing my thoughts about everything. But I have it's almost like a mathematical equation that I try to present to people. Actually, I present it. There's no trying. I do. It's a thought creates a feeling. A feeling creates a belief. A belief creates a behavior. And a behavior becomes a life.
Mm.
So if I change the thought, I've changed my life.
Yes.
So, but I have to be willing to investigate my thoughts and ask myself, do I really believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times we're operating from a belief system that we no longer really believe in. And I know that's so with the people you work with. They're operating from a place of like, well, I won't make it if he's not here to take care of me, even though mm-hmm. he's killing me while he's buying the groceries, even though he's beating me half to death. Every time he comes home with the groceries or every time I come home with the groceries, I won't make it without him. And without ever investigating, and please correct me if I'm wrong, without ever investigating, I'm not making it anyway.
Yeah, because our base foundation, our morals and ethics, we've completely allowed to go by the wayside. So yes, you're on point again.
Well, I've been there and done that, so to speak, and I lived my whole life based on lies up until I started to recover, all of it. I grew up hearing, you're just one of those Callaways and you won't ever amount to anything, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker to a point. I've come to believe that denial only goes so deep, and down there somewhere, we know the truth.
I agree.
And that's why we do all the things to escape it. We drink and drug. We get into abusive relationships. We become sex addicts. We become workaholics. The only reason we do those things is if our denial was working, we wouldn't need to numb any pain. There wouldn't be any pain.
Exactly. And when we are in that substance abuse, when we're in, whether it's alcohol or drugs, or we are allowing somebody to abuse us, we are abusing ourselves.
Right. Right. Joanne, our time is, my God, we went a little longer, but oh, that was wonderful. I can't wait until we do it again.
Yes.
So I want you to inform the audience how to find you, where to find you, what you're up to. Give us a, where do we find Joanne?
You can find me, first of all, on Facebook at facebook.com/thawyourfrozenfeet. I'm on LinkedIn under Joanne Brennan, Johanne. My website is under construction. It is thawyourfrozenfeetbook.com. Yes, just you find me on social media, look me up. I'm accepting pre-orders, speaking engagements. I'm working with my business coach right now for an online coaching program as well that is coming out soon, within the next 2 months. And my book will be printed in April.
Great. I want to clarify that it is Thaw Your Frozen Feet. And I want to say thanks to the audience for listening. I want to say you can go to johnnycalloway.com and hear our other podcasts. There's another one already on there with Joanne and I. This month, we're focusing on healing as an inside job. I've already done a show with Heron Yui. I've done this one with Joanne. We'll be coming out next week. Next week, I'm speaking with Mary Padlack, who is a phenomenal person. I don't even know what all her titles are. She will be on here having a great conversation with her. She's played a major part in the healing part of my life. And keep an eye out and an ear out, because I'm thinking on June 1st, I'm releasing The Bridge Where Souls Connect and a revision of my very first book, Taming the Dragon. The object is not to conquer the dragon, but to tame him and make him an ally. So we're growing and growing, and we're doing everything we can. We want you guys to be a part of it. So thank you. If you would please join Team Morph, just go to the website, and there's a tab on there somewhere where you can join Team Morph and help us help others. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and I hope you listen to us again next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. Remember, never give up, always keep it real, and take time to smell the roses. And please, sit down and watch a butterfly. Keep up with all that we are doing by going to morphintoanewyou.com. Thank you very much.